Welcome in to Sports Talk Chicago.
All gas, no break.
If you're looking for the same old sports talk,
get out.
You've come to the wrong place.
Hey, we ain't come this far just to come this far, you hear me?
I tell you what I see, I tell you the truth.
We going hard today.
We're fearless, bold, and highly opinionated.
This show is so hot right now.
The biggest guests, the hottest takes, and the best interviews live right here.
Do you actually remind me of Dan Patrick? Because you ask great questions, you have the knack, you have the gift.
On Sports Talk Chicago.
Yo, Chicago.
Here's your host.
The guy's an absolute stud.
John Zagul.
Welcome to Sports Talk Chicago. Alongside Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy. As we fill in for John Z, producer John Meadows is at the controls back at the metal shop in Oak Brook, and Sam and I can be heard every weekday over at Locked On Cubs on YouTube and everywhere you get your podcast. Great opportunity to fill in for John this week, and shout out to all of the great affiliates on the Sports Talk Chicago Network. Really impressive what John has built. We are on the radio right now, 101.1 Peoria Sports Radio, 98.3 The Life, WKAN 1320 AM and 101.3 FM, 105.5 The Ticket, Cities 92.9, and on TV on ACTV and WJOB Jed TV. On today's show, we're going to be talking Bears, Big Ten basketball, and a lot more. And then really excited to welcome our guest, Cole Wright, from the Marquee Sports Network, as Cole will be here to talk all things Cubs. And maybe we sneak in a Bears question or two to him as well. And Bears is where we're going to start today's episode. But before that, Sam, excited to have this opportunity as a duo. And let's get our Sports Talk Chicago on.
Yeah, I think you pretty much nailed the intro, man. So let's get to my wheelhouse, which is not that, and talking a little sports.
Bears coverage right now mostly surrounding Justin Fields not being traded yet, but also the free agent frenzy, I think, has been suspect at best. We all assumed, and perhaps assumed wrongly, that the Bears were going to trade Fields before the beginning of free agency this week. And as we sit here to record, Fields is still on the Bears roster, and I think he's on the roster because the Bears think he's a starting quarterback, whether it's for them. Well, whether it's for them or another team. Mm-hmm. So, Sam, here are two scenarios that I want you to respond to. Either the Bears' price for a Fields trade has not been met, or they are genuinely still deciding whether he or Caleb Williams will be the quarterback this year and beyond. What do you think?
Can I add a third scenario, please?
Please.
Nobody wants him.
I don't buy that.
I do. What do you mean you don't buy that?
I think that's a cop-out.
Okay, well, let's look at the quarterback market here. Gardner
Minshew.
It's a Minshew.
Quarterback musical chairs. I get it.
Gardner Minshew was taken. Russell Wilson's
Sam
going
Darnold.
To Pittsburgh. Sam Darnold. Kirk Cousins. All these quarterback-hungry teams, they could have gotten Fields for the same for less. Maybe, I guess, technically, to your point, the Bears...
Poles has a high price.
I think Ryan Poles thought he would get a third-round pick for Justin Fields. I don't think that's a high price, but clearly the rest of the league and the quarterback market and their actions are showing you that Justin Fields is not really highly regarded. And there's been plenty of people throughout the football realm that I've spoken to that echo that. This is somebody that, you know, shows flashes, but flashes don't win football games. And, you know, for some reason, you have this weird, allegiance to Justin Fields. I don't think Justin Fields will be on the Bears. I don't think he will be on the Bears in September. I think the decision is absolutely 100% made that Caleb Williams will be the quarterback for this team, and Ryan Poles is just trying to find a way to get some value back to the for Fields as a diminished prospect.
The only thing we know for sure is, for whatever reason, Ryan Poles hasn't traded Fields. He hasn't traded Fields because 31 other teams don't want him. Even that, Mac Jones got traded this week, player.
For
even Mac Jones got traded.
For the value that he's asking for, to your original point, obviously not. I don't buy this whole...
I don't think it's that obvious.
I don't buy Fields staying on the team and they draft Caleb Williams. That's only going to bring more distractions. That's not the way you bring in a young stud prospect.
With both of them on the roster?
Correct.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
Justin Fields will not be a Chicago Bear by September. Caleb Williams will be.
So are you leaving room for the possibility that there's maybe a day or two of like summer camp with both of them in Bears helmets, or is Fields gone for sure? Because I think what Poles could do, he could wait for camp. They're both on the roster, but it's kind of like the Dylan Cease situation. He got traded to the Padres on Wednesday night. Maybe Fields enters camp with the Bears. Someone goes down, unfortunately, for another club. And then that team gives Poles a call. Do you know what I'm trying to spit out?
I will leave that. I will leave that possibility open, because when the Bears are in camp, I'm going to be part of a pennant race with the Chicago Cubs. So I'm not going to be paying attention. But yeah, look, you're probably right. I guess there's a possibility of it. Well,
he could get traded this weekend for all we know.
I personally think it's a conclusion's been made in that room that Justin Fields is not the guy going forward, and it's just a matter of time. Ryan Poles is trying to figure out the best way possible to ship him.
Why do the Bears have a better chance at winning with Caleb Williams?
Well, it's pretty simple.
Really?
Yeah. There's a lot. Next year or in total?
I would say in total.
Well, the first
thing, not just the 1 year, right?
Well, the first thing is I think right now, as it stands, I think Caleb Williams is a better quarterback. I think he's a better decision maker. I think he sees the field better. When you look at the future of it, Matt, you're getting an ability to reset the quarterback clock with the contract.
And the Bears are good at doing that. Go ahead.
Justin Fields is going to be due some real serious money pretty soon.
Sure.
This gives you the opportunity to rewind it back a little bit. The risks are obvious. If he's not ready to play and he's not good, and you have a really good defense around him and a really good roster,
they do have a good defense,
and he's the one holding you back. Yeah, that's going to be frustrating. But I think Justin Fields, his ceiling as a quarterback, it's been 3 years, and I don't see it. I just don't see it. I think he may be fine somewhere else. This idea, he might turn into an MVP candidate.
Wow, that's a stretch.
I just don't see it. He can't go on the road against good defenses and win football games. He's an incredible athlete. He seems like a very nice young man. I just don't think that he is a franchise quarterback, and I think there's a better chance that Mr. Williams is.
Well, and Poles went on the record a couple weeks ago. He said, we're going to do right by Justin Fields. And then, of course, on the airwaves, they say, Fields is going to the Falcons for sure. Meanwhile, the Falcons always wanted Kirk Cousins.
Because Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than Justin Fields.
Right. Then don't kick the can down the road. We can't just assume that Fields was going to the Falcons. Here's my deal.
I thought he was going to Pittsburgh, actually, and that was wrong.
Well, that was debunked pretty early.
They rather have Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson was 77 years old this August. I do think the Bears are going to move on from Fields and get Caleb Williams.
Okay.
But if Poles decides to trade down, load up on picks.
No. No.
Keep Fields, but add impact offensively, especially at center and receiver. I would get behind that. I would.
Well, that's
that,
why.
Adunze or Harrison or Joe Alt.
Well, all these fine
free
listeners.
Agent market's still got a few names.
Well, thankfully.
If they build around Fields, I'm not going to be that discouraged. I'm not.
He's not good enough, Matthew. He's not good enough.
He got done dirty.
Why?
Because I'll tell you why.
Why did he get done dirty? Because, the offensive line says.
Did not bring in an offensive head coach. He brought in this Matt Eberflus, man.
Well, so Matt Eberflus is still the coach.
Right, and that's a problem too.
So if you keep him, it's going to be the same thing. Some amazing runs, some amazing throws, but overall, when you're playing big games against big opponents like Lambeau Field and like Cleveland last year or at Minnesota,
so you're going to look up stadiums.
He's not good enough. We know he's not good enough. Let's open up the door and see what the other side has to say.
He's had over a 300-yard passing game, 200-yard rushing game. He's able to throw pretty well outside the pocket. The Bears never had a substantial line for this dude. He got crushed in the backfield hundreds of times.
Who's his best win?
Who's his best win?
Yeah, who's the best team he's ever beat? Is it the Lions at home, I think, last year?
It probably is, man.
Yeah, he's not good enough.
But here's the thing, Sam.
I want to talk basketball.
This conversation, I think, proves the Bears can't get it right.
No, listen.
I don't believe the Bears are going to get this right. They have the number one pick for the second year in a row, and they might not get it right.
I think you're right. There's a chance they don't get it right. But the closest path to getting it right is finding somebody so great, they don't have to get it right. They could sit and watch him do his thing. And we know that's not Justin Fields. So maybe it's Caleb Williams, okay? Keeping Justin Fields and passing on this kid would not be getting it right the wrong way. At least mess it up the right way and take the prospect.
The notable free agent signing for the Bears so far this week, running back DeAndre Swift, who's only 25 years of age. They signed him about 8 minutes into free agency, so they clearly like Swift out of the backfield there. And I think he does add a nice dynamic. We'll see what other threats they add offensively, because that's their biggest needs right now, is on that side of the ball.
No comment.
Offensively, I like what I'm seeing on the roster, and the Montez Sweat trade was shrewd, last fall. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how else they build this club, especially in the draft next month. On the other side, let's get into some hoops action with the Big Ten and beyond. Stay tuned. We're back here on Sports Talk Chicago alongside Sam Olber. I'm Matt Cozy. Shout out to all our great radio and TV affiliates. Shout out to John Z, who's built this Sports Talk Chicago machine. And John Meadows is back at the metal shop helping us out behind the scenes. Of course, I had some Bulls prepped, as this is a Chicago sports show. But I don't think we're going to do that, Sam. I think we're going to talk some March Madness with the rest of the time we have left before we get to Cole Wright. And the Big Ten tournament is this week. Selection Sunday is this weekend. We have some local flavor with Illinois, with Northwestern. Where would you like to start?
Well, first of all, I could do the Bulls segment right here. They're in the worst spot you could be in, the middle of the NBA with no superstars and no chances to win the title. So now let's talk about Illinois, the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana. this is my favorite basketball team.
You shouldn't laugh like that. We're on the radio.
I'm very excited about this club. I think this is the first time, obviously in 2021, Brad Underwood had a loaded team with Ayo Dosunmu and Kofi Coburn and such, and they were upset in an embarrassing fashion by Loyola in the second round.
I remember.
Since then, and it hasn't been that long ago, but this is by far the best chance that they've had to make the second weekend. And believe it or not, the Illinois Fighting Illini have not made the second weekend of the NCAA tournament since 2005, when they went to the national championship and lost to North Carolina. They have a unanimous all Big Ten player in Terrence Shannon at the top of his game. When he gets out in transition, they're a very difficult team to beat. Marcus Domask, second team all Big Ten. When they have to get settled in the half court, he's the guy that breaks things down for them and really helps. Coleman Hawkins, third team all Big Ten. They're a loaded team. Honestly, as a four, I think they're going to probably be a four seed, Matt. And to be honest, and I think you said one of the radio stations were at Peoria, so it's Illinois.
Yes,
country.
It is.
I don't want to upset people when I say this, but I actually think this team might have underachieved this season.
Wow.
They are very, very talented. They played Purdue the other day at last week at home. They played one of their worst games of the season, and they still barely lost to them. This is a team that could beat anybody in the country, and I think the pressure's on for Brad Underwood and company. This team is good enough to make the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, and they need to find a way to do so.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a good showing in Minneapolis at the tournament this weekend.
Yeah.
And even if they don't, let's say they win just one game or something like that, I do think they're pretty firm on the four line right now for March Madness. I suppose they could go down to a five, but
I don't think so.
It's either going to be a four or a five, right?
I think it's a four.
They're not going to go to a six.
I mean, no, I think if they were to win the Big Ten tournament, there's an outside chance at a three.
Okay, outside chance at a three,
but
sure.
It's probably a four. This is a four seed.
I really like this Illinois team. As an Iowa fan, they were really impressive in both of their matchups, including this past weekend to close out the regular season of the Big Ten conference play. Northwestern and Chris Collins looks like a possible threat in Minneapolis. I'm not counting on it, but I think it's possible. And mm-hmm. It does look like they're going to get their ticket punched to the tournament as well. But college basketball in this area, I think, is and does leave something to be desired. Loyola had that magical run a few years ago. And outside of that, it's been pretty slim pickings. And I think this Illinois group is primed to make a run. And yeah. You think they could make a dent in March Madness when they get there?
Yeah, I think so. I think they should make the second weekend. I think, you know, you mentioned Northwestern too. You know, Northwestern's got a really good team. Unfortunately for them, it's just the injuries.
Yeah, they're shorthanded.
You know, Ty Berry, you know, was their second best player, behind Boo Booey. And, you know, him being out is really tough. But Chris Collins has done a nice job over there. And, I think they got a pretty good chance, you know, in Minneapolis as well, maybe to win a game. But outside of Purdue, I think Illinois has by far the best chance to make a run.
Is Purdue this year a contender or a pretender in your mind? Purdue a contender or pretender?
Oh, no. They're a contender. Look,
okay.
You know, March Madness.
I'm lukewarm on them.
Right. March Madness is. It reminds me a lot of the five-game series in baseball.
Really?
Sure, the Dodgers and Braves looked like frauds last year because they went out and they won a billion games. But when you're playing one basketball game, Matt, you know, I played the game of basketball, not at a high level. And when you're playing the game of basketball and it comes down to one game, especially with the three-point shot and the parity in basketball now, it's really hard. And so, yeah, Purdue looked bad last year when they went out in that 116, but that doesn't mean they're not a contender. They are one of the three or four best teams in the country. They may bow out in the second round this year, but it's random. And that's why people love it. You know, that's why people love it. You know, your Iowa Hawkeyes, if they get hot, win a couple of games, they could make the tournament. The first game of the tournament, they hit 12 threes. Who knows? You know, every game's a game seven. And so, you know, I don't think anybody, I don't think Purdue's a pretender, but that doesn't mean they're going to go all the way. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, for the Iowa outlook, I do believe that they're going to win their first game against Ohio State. We'll see what happens from there. There's such a ragtag bunch that I don't have. It doesn't instill a lot of confidence in me, but, I know their percentage chances are low right now to make the tournament, but I'm still holding out some hope. And on the women's side, Big Ten, you know, you have an absolute superstar in Caitlin Clark in the women's program that's taken over swept the nation. And so I'm excited to keep tabs on them this month as well. And of course, then you have baseball right around the corner. And the Bulls and Blackhawks are, you know, they play till about mid-April. And, you know, there's nothing really that stands out about them. What I found interesting in my research today, Sam, So the Bulls hold the number 9 spot in the Eastern Conference, right?
I guess, yeah.
They have never been over 500 this year.
Really?
Not one time. Now, here's the twist to this campaign for the Bulls. They are 21-19, two games over this year, without
Zach LaVine. Yeah, I don't want to talk about the Bulls.
And that's really curious to me.
Well, Kobe White's developed into a very nice player.
He really has. Caruso and Vucevic.
Well, Caruso
is competitive.
No, they actually aren't a bad watch, Matt.
DeMar
really
DeRozan has put a stamp on his entire career.
These years
have been relevant to the back of his basketball card.
They are not a bad watch anymore, but unfortunately in this league, if you want to win championships and compete for championships, you have to have superstars usually, or at least one. And with all due respect to Mr. DeRozan, he's not that, and the Bulls don't have that.
101.1 Peoria Sports Radio, 98.3 The Life, WKAN, 1320 AM, and 101.3 FM, 105.5 The Ticket, Cities 92.9, and on TV, on ACTV and WJOB, Jed TV. Before we get to Cole Wright, want to give another shout out and a thank you to all the great affiliates that we just named here on Sports Talk Chicago, and thankful to John Z and John Meadows for working with us this week and letting us fill in. And some possible breaking news here. John is planning to return to this very hosting chair next week. We are back here on Sports Talk Chicago and all of the network's radio and TV affiliates. And for this segment, we are also simulcasting at our usual home, Locked On Cubs, as we are pleased to be joined by Cole Wright of the Marquee Sports Network. Cole, how's it going today?
Hey, it's going excellent, man. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. We really enjoy your coverage on Marquee. We're going to get into the offseason, the upcoming year, and we might even squeeze in a Bears question or two at the end. Sam, take it away.
Oh, well, Cole, it's great to have you on. I got some, there's going to be some surprises throughout this interview that might make you laugh a little bit if you have a good memory. But my first question to you, and I think I could speak to most Cub fans, is, you know, how would you rate this offseason? High expectations, the Ohtani murmurs, all these big time guys. And how do you feel about the guys that they got? Do you think this team got better?
I think they did. I mean, I think just bringing Cody Bellinger back, you know, first and foremost, makes this team just that much more of a threat. I don't know about you guys, but I was never team Shohei Ohtani. I mean, what it would have done marketing wise would have been fantastic. But I mean, you look at the King's ransom that he demanded, and I mean, you can get multiple players with that. And I think that's one of the things that Jed and Carter have expressed, you know, all along during their tenure in the front office, smart spending. And you know, spending that money on one guy. I mean, obviously everybody didn't know that the deferment was coming afterwards. So I think that it was a case of, okay, let's spend X amount of dollars on Shohei Ohtani. Will it be $400 million, $500 million? Eventually it was $600+ million. And that's currently where the Dodgers are at. And if that's an albatross that they're saddled with for decades to come, then so be it. But I just don't think that was a smart move when it came to spending. You know, now, when you look at the Dodgers, all the money they spent in the offseason, if they don't win, shame on them. Because, I mean, that's like rolling into a slingshot fight with a fully automatic weapon. I mean, if you don't win that one, you have a serious problem on your hands.
Cole, the Cubs have a real opportunity, and I always get a kick out of your analogies. The Cubs have a real opportunity to build on a season last year in which they almost made the playoffs, and there's a solid core in place. You know, the so-called bigger names, Happ, Horner, Bellinger, Suzuki, Swanson, Morel, Steele, Hendricks, Alzolay. That's a pretty solid core on paper. What is your view of that core entering this year?
I mean, I feel good about it. I mean, anytime you look at when you look at guys like Nico, Dansby, Cody, Happer, and Seiya, that's defensively pretty doggone good. I mean, that's four Gold Glovers and a guy who has multiple Gold Gloves in Japan on the field at the same time. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't think there's any other teams who boast that same kind of resume. I mean, I might have to go back and right now and just take a double check and look. However, when you have guys who can pick it like that, it makes the game just that much easier. When you make defensive plays and you have guys, and it gives your pitcher a sense of confidence out there too. When he knows I can make this pitch, that makes the game and the entire day that much more easy to navigate. I was talking with Albert Alzolay down in spring training, and I asked him, did you prepare this entire offseason like a closer? Because you look a little thicker this year. And he said, last year I was all about preparing myself as a reliever. And he said, well, if I'm going to be a reliever, I want to be a closer. And in thinking about that, I said, okay, since you're a closer, I'm like, do you think like a closer where I'd rather throw 75 pitches and get 3 strikeouts, or are you cool with 3 rollover ground balls? And he said, that's the one thing that I have carried over from being a starter. Like, I want to be economical. Like, I'll throw you in on the hands and you'll just hit a weak little chopper to Dansby and he'll shoot across the diamond and boom, just like that, there's one out. So I just feel like, When you take a look at, you know, the defense, as far as these guys are concerned, it gives pitchers a sense of calm. And when they're able to go out there and do their job and not think, well, if I don't do the right thing with this, it's going to get smoked, you know, through the 5 hole. No, you have Dansby there. He's the gold glover. You know, 4 hole, there's Nico. Boom, you're fine. And, you know, someone puts one in the air to left, Happer's one back to back. So, and we all know what Cody Bellinger can do. So I just feel like this core right here is what this team needs. And I feel like this. And I'm not going to say, okay, because it's a winnable division. No, I think that this team really is solid and legit. And if every one of these guys has the kind of year that they've set out to have on paper, you know, if they're looking to have the kind of season that they know they can have, a career year. I mean, I know sometimes that's a roll of the dice if every guy has a career year. But when you take a look at the clubhouse chemistry, I think that's going to be a key contributor to these guys having the best years of their career. And even if it's not the best, if it's the second best or the third best, if all those things fall into line, this could be this team could be a real force to be reckoned with.
When you have a good core group and you have good players, you need a skipper that gets the most out of them. And what was it, about November 6th, something like that? Mm-hmm. What was, Cole, where were you? And what was your reaction when, in my opinion, the biggest or most shocking news of the Cubs offseason was the Cubs had let go of David Ross and then hired Craig Counsell. What was your reaction to that?
Well, it's funny because I was off that day and my wife was off too. And if my wife wasn't off, chances are they probably would have called me and there would have been a ringing phone because I was awake. We were going to get something to eat. We went and got breakfast, came back, and I was watching a DVR of Price is Right, as I usually do. I mean, if you're not at work, it's just like a sick day home from school, right? Price is Right is on. Let's roll. So I was watching Price is Right. My phone rang. I saw, I'm like, who's this? It was my producer, Nick Steger from Marquee Sports Network, senior coordinating producer. And he's like, we just hired Craig Counsell. Come on, let's go. So I threw some clothes on, jumped in the shower. Not in that order. Jumped in the shower and then threw some clothes on. That would have been nuts. Yeah, I put clothes on and then jumped in the shower. I went to Marquee Sports Network, soaking wet. No. So, excuse me.
Different type of a show.
My voice is blown out because I was at my daughter's softball tournament this weekend, her first tournament of the year in Texas, and they won. Oh, by the way, nice. They took out some of the top teams.
Nice.
In the country, so I was doing a little bit of cheering this weekend. My voice is a little blown out. So.
Save that voice, though.
No doubt. But yeah, that's what I was doing. I was watching Price is Right, got the news, went in, knocked out breaking news. It was a lot of fun.
Cole, we're talking a lot about the rotation lately, especially in light of Counsell announcing on Tuesday that Jameson Taillon is likely not going to be present that first or second time through the rotation to open up the campaign. We know about Justin Steele. We know about Kyle Hendricks. But after that, I would say there's some question marks, which isn't exactly settling. So Steele, Hendricks, and then what are you looking at right now with the rotation?
You know, there's some of the younger guys. I mean, when you take a look at Jameson Taillon and what he would bring to the table, you look at his second half last year, and I mean, it was pretty good. He was one of the better pitchers in all of baseball. And I just feel like right now it's kind of a work in progress. I mean, if you're Craig Counsell, you go and you look and see all these young guys who have pitched well. And if you can put them all in one category and put the other ones in another and say, all right, these guys have earned their keep. These are the guys that I want to roll with. These are the guys that have earned their spot in that rotation, because it's still a work in progress. It's not going to be what it looks to be until maybe middle of April, maybe mid-May, if things go as planned. And that's the thing. Are they still going to pick someone up? I know Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell are still out there. Who knows what the Scott Boras market is right now? I think the one good thing is that Jed and Carter have just dealt with Scott Boras recently. Scott Boras was just at Sloan Park 2.5 weeks ago dealing with Cody Bellinger. And I thought maybe something could materialize from that. Not necessarily, but I think the whole rotation, it's just a work in progress, whether it's, you know, Javier Assad, Hayden Wesneski, some of the younger guys that need to work out some of those kinks, Jordan Wicks, you know, it's all dependent on who's the hot hand at that time. And I feel like whether it's the fourth or fifth starter, or if it's a 6-man rotation with Shota Imanaga, I feel like it's whoever's earned their keep for that day. If a guy has a bad start, okay, then maybe you don't give him that next start. And maybe if it doesn't go to Hayden Wesneski, maybe it goes to Javier Assad. Maybe if it doesn't go to Javier Assad, then it goes to Jordan Wicks. But, you know, I'm not Craig Counsell. I'm not in charge of putting together the starting rotation or the bullpen or deciding who the closer is. So, you know, he's going to have his work cut out for him. I feel like it sounds so cliche to say it's a marathon, not a sprint, but that's exactly what it is. So, you know, if they can just stay steady out of the blocks while they're looking to get some semblance of a rotation together, I think they'll be all right.
You know, we talk about Craig Counsell, and, you know, last year the Cubs, especially up the middle with Dansby and Nico, they really stressed, you know, run prevention. Yep. and turning ground balls into outs. And I've been having trouble, and one of the main topics on our show recently has been this Christopher Morel third base thing. Yeah. Because we obviously have a ton. His bat needs to be in the lineup every day. Knows that at this point.
Yep.
But I'm a little bit concerned as you flip your hat around. I'm a little bit concerned.
I got to represent for at least a segment, just a little bit. Just a little bit.
I'm a little bit concerned about Morel because I don't see it defensively at third. And I'm concerned early in the season that might hurt the Cubs and cost us some games. Where are you at with the Morel third base experiment?
I think it's the Alfonso Soriano effect, like Sean Marshall says. If he can drive in more than he lets up, that's fine with me. I mean, third base is not easy. And when you take, I mean, if you could say, name me 7 fantastic third basemen, I'm take you out to lunch, because there's really not 7 extra solid third basemen in the league. So if you can give up a little bit of defense for a little extra pop, I mean, what did Mo Money have last year? 26 pumps or 25?
Yeah.
It was 26 or 25?
It was 26.
26, yeah. 26 home runs, and he wasn't even in the lineup on a consistent basis. If he can do that more consistently, and no, don't worry, you're going to get your 4 cuts every game, you're fine. You're going to get 155 games with 4 at-bats every game, sometimes 5, sometimes 3. Sometimes you're going to get 6 at-bats if we're blown cats out. So I feel like if he can string those positive at-bats and some of that momentum into him staying consistent in the batter's box. And I feel like just a shortened up approach. Like, I love Christopher Morel's pop. I also love the fact that he's one of the best athletes on the field at all times. So if he says, okay, I get 2 swings for Chris, you know, two swings are for him. Yeah. I mean, if you want to hit one, you know, all the way to Gray's Lake, go for it. Pump one out there. The first 2 swings, those are for you. That third swing is for the team. Shorten up just a little bit. Think I'm going right field no matter what. And every once in a while, you're going to catch one out front. And I just feel like that approach, and it sounds so easy for me sitting right here in my chair when a dude's not throwing 98-mile-an-hour tablets. But I feel like Christopher Morel is that kind of dude, man. Like, he puts in the work, and he's sneaky big. I don't know if you guys have seen him in person or have ever been around him. He's every bit of 6'1" and 215 pounds, man. So he's no joke. And I feel like this year, with the consistency that's going to be able to, you know, be saddled around his neck, I feel like he's going to be a special guy, and he's going to be fun to watch this season.
This is definitely an off-season content type question, but I do think the listeners get into it. They are curious about it. We asked Lance this for Wednesday's show. He said Daniel Palencia. Cole, you were at Sloan a couple weeks ago and know the Cubs org well. Who is one under the radar name we should keep an eye on this year?
You know what? I like where Lance's head is at with Daniel Palencia, because I talked to him as well. And he said he was, I asked him, I said, how you feeling, man? He said, feeling good. And I heard that day, or even the day before, he was 99, 100. I said, you hitting triple digits already? He's like, yeah, I'm feeling good. And one thing, if you look at him, he's more trim. I mean, before he was kind of straight up and down. Now my man's got a waist. And it looks like he put in some serious work. And if that's the case, and he's out there throwing pellets like that, he will be a problem. But my guy that I'm looking at also throws Ched. It's Julian Merriweather. Mm-hmm. And I was talking with Dustin Kelly, and I'm not sitting here trying to name drop, but I feel like if Cubs fans are out there and they want to hear things somewhat straight from the source, what better place to go than right here? But I was talking with Dustin Kelly, and I told him, I said, man, Merriweather just got done throwing live BP. And he was like, well, was he out there throwing rockets? And I was like, yes, he was. And it was a case of towards the back end of the season, I feel like maybe his arm got a little bit tired. So, I mean, and that'll happen when you throw triple digits with regularity. But I feel as if he was going heavy slide piece. I mean, there'd be sequences to hitters where, I mean, he'd throw a 9-pitch at bat, and 7 of those 9 pitches would be sliders, off-speed pitches, trying to trick guys. And there's nothing better than a precisely placed fastball. When you throw 100, 101, I mean, you see the way the guys swing these days. And I mean, maybe I'm just the old guy in the barbershop or the old dude in the club with the fanny pack and turtleneck on looking like The Rock. But you cannot swing under elevated fastballs. That's what you have to get on top of that fastball. Carlos Pena, when he comes on the shows with us, he always talks about hunting that fastball from the top down, going and getting it, getting that top hand to it. And when you're throwing 101, that's hard to do. Now, guys can time fastballs up because we know major league hitters, they can time up a bullet. And we saw it the other day, you know, Paul Skeens, he got taken for a ride throwing 173. So anyone can time that up. But Julian Merriweather, I feel as if, excuse me, if he's able to pinpoint that fastball this season and then be able to wipe cats out with that slide piece, he's going to be a problem, man. Because like I said, and this is where Lance and I have a little bit of a differing opinion, because when it comes to Merriweather's numbers last year, it says that he gives up so much slug on his fastball. And it's like, he says, well, he can't locate the fastball. I'm like, okay, well, maybe we have some more bullpens where it's a predominant fastball. Learn to spot that. And once again, I'm not Tommy Hotovy. So it's easier said than done. If a guy can't locate with that, and maybe take a few miles an hour off. I mean, we've seen guys that throw gas that said, maybe instead of throwing 101, how about I throw 98, 97 on you? And then we can pinpoint a little bit more. And that fastball that's on the corner that you can place and spot, that makes that slider look just that much more devastating. So Julian Merriweather, that's my guy.
Before I ask my next question, I think it is our responsibility, especially with a professional joining us, Matt, that I have to break some breaking news. Down south, the White Sox have traded Dylan Cease. San Diego Padres.
What?
Yeah, that just broke.
Weird landing spot.
Terrible.
Yeah, according to Jeff Passan. So,
wow.
Any instant reaction, or should we move on?
I mean, not for nothing, but yeah. I mean, they had an absolute wrecking crew last year and did nothing on that team.
No kidding. Nothing.
And
them and the Mets.
No shade on Bob Melvin, but Bob Melvin has a team of all-stars, can't compete, loses his job, he was still the skipper.
He left as a free agent, technically.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, hey, you didn't do anything with a murderer's row. So let's give you a job on another team. Like, what?
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me, man.
And the White Sox didn't have a great campaign.
Well, I hope they got a haul, because the Padres, I would have never expected that.
Yeah. And they didn't report that, but Matt, I'm going to ask the question that I've been waiting to the entire time. Cole, you do the post game. There's a lot of games. So if you don't remember this, please don't think I'm offended, but I think you're going to. It was June and it was in Pittsburgh. And this tweet you pulled up on the show, it reads, if Tucker Barnhart hits a homer today, I will give anyone who retweets this two Cubs tickets to a game of your choice.
Okay.
Do you remember that was the day that Tucker Barnhart hit a home run?
Bridge City. I feel like I do remember that.
And you guys.
I think I said that you were on the hook for that, right?
Yeah. That's and right. It was me. That was me.
Did anyone retweet it?
Oh, it was. It went very viral, Mr. Wright. And I just want
to
say.
Are you trying to see if I can help you get some tickets or?
No. That's not what I'm saying. You actually defended me. You actually saved me.
Because it was on the marquee air.
Yeah. You said.
Only the first person that retweeted it.
That's what I meant, and it was a typo. And yep. So you read my Twitter, and actually, whatever you did, you actually saved me. So I ended up getting six people tickets for it, but I just thought it was really one of the funnier moments.
Correct?
No, these were good seats, you know? I work hard.
Nice.
But
who was I on the show with that night? Was it
Sean Marshall? Sean Marshall.
Oh, Marshy. Okay.
And Sean made a comment that said, boy, I hope that Sam Olver, I hope he's got a lot. He's made a money comment.
Nice. But Marshy's always good for the one-liners.
It was really funny. And it was just, I wasn't trying to be a smart aleck. That's what I was trying to get across. We were doing a giveaway for the show. And that's what happened. Matt, take it away.
Hey, drums up publicity, man.
That's right.
There you go.
Hey, content is content sometimes.
Absolutely.
Speaking of that, the discussion around, and this is going to be our final thing for you, Cole. The discussion around the Bears this week, and I don't like putting blanket statements on media, but I think it's not a reach to say it's been suspect. And I think that's because we assumed that a player was going to be traded before free agency started. How do you think the Bears have treated Justin Fields, and who do you think is going to be the starting quarterback in September?
I mean, that's how much time do we have?
Hey,
you know, there's so much going
on. I was thinking today, I think they did him dirty.
I mean,
I don't.
They didn't hire the right people to put him in a position to succeed initially.
I tell that to my daughter all the time. Whatever you do, put yourself in a position to be successful no matter what you do.
Yeah.
I mean, when it's a game of repetition, do the same thing. And she plays softball. So when you're in the hole, when you're on deck, when you're in the batter's box, pay attention to what happened before. What pitch did they see? All the little things. Do the same pre-game or at bat warm up when you're on deck, all the little things. And I feel like since Justin Fields is a former baseball player, I feel like that carries over to him too. And I feel like he did try to put himself in the best position to be successful. I just feel like there were little things that were sometimes somewhat glaring that you would look at and be like, would Patrick Mahomes do that? I don't know. Would Tom Brady do that? I don't know. And not to say that's who you want to compare yourself to, but if you're trying to be a winning quarterback in the league, I think that's who I would try to compare myself to. I would try to do the things that they do. And, you know, I worked at NFL Network for six seasons. You know, I worked with Deion Sanders, and the one thing that jumps out is he told me one time, guys got done with the game, they got blown out, came out wearing a ridiculous outfit. And Prime said, tell you, man, man, you got to have an alpha for when you win and when you lose, because that one right there ain't getting it done. And normally my Deion impression is a lot better, but my voice is blown out right now. So, and I just would see things that would be like when you lose a game and you come out and your outfit is to the T. I mean, just come out in your pads and your jersey still. We've seen that before. Let's go get it out of the way. Let's get it done with. I feel like there were things that had his focus that should not have. And maybe that's, like I said, maybe that's once again, me being the old dude. Like, man, maybe there's things that are from my generation that, I mean, if I lose and I get beat, I'm coming out in just a regular t-shirt. I'm not wearing the fancy outfit, but if I win, then yeah, I'm bringing, you know, everything out, you know, that the hat, everything that I want to. So I just think when, and I feel like And I'm a connoisseur of fine hooded sweatshirts. I have way too many hoodies. It's a problem between hoodies and gym shoes and baseball caps. It's a serious issue. You can ask my wife about it. Anyone will tell you. But I feel like if I'm an NFL quarterback and after a loss, I don't want to see a cat with their hood up and just mumbling. And I feel like that's not who he is. I feel like, and maybe it's because he wasn't put in the best position to succeed. And maybe he was frustrated with the situation that was going on. And I don't blame him. But, and I think as he gets older, maybe he'll look into that and be like, all right, I wherever I go next, if I do go somewhere next, because I don't necessarily want him to go anywhere. If Justin Fields was able to stay as the Bears quarterback and they draft Caleb Williams, and you have a potential of, okay, let's both of these guys, let's let competition have that cream rise to the top. Now, I don't necessarily think that that's what's going to happen. I mean, I don't know. I'm not in Kevin Warren's office. I'm not in Ryan Pohl's office. I have no clue. But I just feel like when you take a look at Justin Fields, and it could be a circumstance of age. That's how a lot of these younger cats are. And like I said, once again, maybe it's just me being the older guy. But I feel like you wouldn't – when Patrick Mahomes gets smashed out, which rarely happens when the Chiefs lose, I feel like he's pretty buttoned up. It's not like over the top with the outfits. And if that's the only reason why I'm a Justin Fields detractor, that's probably pretty stupid. But either way, there were just things where I saw that it's like maybe he could take a step forward in this department. And it's not a knock on him. Like, don't misconstrue me knocking Justin Fields, because I feel like that – There were times when he showed so many flashes of brilliance. But like Lewis Riddick from ESPN once said, though, flashes like that make guys lose their jobs.
Get you fired.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Flashes like that. So, you know, hopefully this year, if he's still a Chicago Bear, all the flashes are continuous and they're not, you know, intermittent. So we'll see. You know, I wish the best for Justin Fields. I mean, I know, like, just the fact that he's a former baseball player makes me like him. Just for that reason.
Yeah.
So
the rest of the league doesn't really seem like it was a Bears issue. They don't seem very interested, Matthew.
And you know, guys who know a lot more about football than I do have given me some nuggets about, you know, that same situation. Like they see certain things, they see certain holes. But once again, I'm not a football talent evaluator. You know, I'm not. Who's the quarterback coach? George, what's his name? My man who's out on the West Coast, who has cats running around in the ocean, you know, with the ball high and everything. I don't know. We'll figure it out here later.
Yeah, but, yeah.
You know, everybody, George Whitfield, you know, everybody goes to George Whitfield. So, I mean, once again, I'm not a quarterback evaluator. I'm no talent scout. But when you hear Caleb Williams, when you hear him vocalize his feelings, I just feel like that's more suited for a market like Chicago. You know, I mean, this is the third largest media market in the United States, man. I mean, if you want to be here, you have to be marketable. And I know Justin Fields has commercials, but it's not like, oh, man, it's like, did you see his personality? It really came to the forefront. And I know that's not what it's all about. You don't necessarily, like, to be a quarterback in the NFL, you have to have a personality. But, I mean, isn't it, it's pretty fun to see Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid in those commercials, you know, for whatever it is, because they're in commercials for everything. So.
Well, the curiosity is flowing on the lakefront with the Bears, and I think the optimism is too on the north side. Cole Wright, thank you so much for being on.
We didn't even
us.
Talk about potential new stadium. I mean, what is it going to be on the lakefront? Is it going to be in Arlington Heights? I mean, it seems as if Arlington Heights is shuttered.
It's not going to be in Arlington Heights.
Yeah,
It might be in Naperville for all we know.
I heard that when I was in high school. I don't think that. It's funny though when you think of Arlington Heights. I mean, there was so much to do about, you know, the old racetrack and everything, and now that seems to be shuttered. So I mean, if they do build a new stadium right on the lake, I mean, I've seen some of the renderings. They look pretty fantastic. I mean, if you could pull up your yacht to the field and watch a game, I mean, for, you know, if they're playing the Ravens and Steve Bisciotti pulls up his yacht, that'd be fantastic. Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, unbelievable. Because at the owners meeting in Boca one year, Steve Bisciotti drove his yacht from Baltimore down and pulled up right at the Boca Club and Resort, and it was, I mean, it had like a helicopter on it. And I feel like Jerry Jones looked at it and was like, all right, I'm going to get me one just like that, but bigger. And sure enough, that's exactly what he did. So, but I mean, if you could pull up your yacht to the new Soldier Field, That'd be pretty sweet. So I, sorry for getting us derailed and adding time onto this, guys.
No, don't
apologize. We had a really good time, and check out Cole's coverage of the Cubs and the Bears on Marquee Sports Network. And he will be calling Thursday's spring trading game on Marquee. Cole, thank you so much.
Hey, anytime, fellas. Good stuff.
For Cole Wright, for Sam Olver, I'm Matt Cozy. We're out.